Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. My name is Al Whitney, and we are in our second and final hour, talking to Dr. Paul Byrne, who is a neonatologist and a pediatrician. And it sounds like he's been in the battle for protecting the population from babies to adults to seniors pretty much his whole career. Before we get back to him, I want to read this because this was so alien to me. I said earlier in the first hour that I was a respiratory therapist and I did work with patients on ventilators. I can't believe that the Ohio Revised Code, that's the statutory code system, it's Uniform Commercial Code, that they decided that in 2009, this is when they passed the Revised Uniform Anatomical Gift Act, they decided it was their job to define death. And I'm going to read what is actually in the Ohio Revised Code. Anybody can look it up. It's Ohio Revised Code 2108.40. And it's definition of death. Now, come on, folks. When did we think that these legislators, of course, it wasn't written by legislators. It was written by lawyers. But who gives them the right? A bunch of legislators who don't know diddly about medicine, all of a sudden they put a statute in our statutory code system, which they support in all our courts, defining death, definition of death. This is what they said. And we all know they got this from the people who wrote that act. And then they were 12 lawyers who met in Hilton Head, South Carolina in 2006. But here's the definition. An individual, and there's a question about the term individual, which we talked about on this show many times, is dead if the individual has sustained either irreversible cessation of circulatory and respiratory functions, that means their heart's not beating and they're not breathing, or irreversible cessation of all, and I have question mark, all, functions of the brain, including the brain stem, as determined in accordance with accepted medical standards, and I have question marks about that. If the respiratory and circulatory functions of a person, and we're back to the word person, are being artificially sustained under accepted medical standards, a determination that death has occurred is made by a physician by observing and conducting a test to determine the irreversible cessation of all, right. Sure, functions of the brain has occurred. Now, let me ask you, Dr. Byrne, the patient goes into the emergency department, and I presume, because I've seen it, that at that point, I think they're trying to save the patient's life. At least that's most of us believe that. At what
point? And I think that's correct when they arrive there. I think that's correct.
Okay. Can I assume that the emergency room physician, and I've seen several of them in the last few years with my family members, is not the one who does this test. It's done by some other physician. At what point does the emergency room physician stop treating and turn the patient over to someone else?
Actually, now the emergency room physicians participate they don't turn them over. Sometimes they can make that declaration of brain death. They call them qualified to do it and trained to do it. In fact, there's a movement to train medical students to learn how to make this declaration of brain death. That gets into you read where it's in accord with accepted medical standards?
Yes.
Okay. Accepted medical standards. We'll deal with that first. You see, before they used the word accepted medical standards, they used the word ordinary standards or usual and customary standards or reasonable standards. Now, if you just take the thing of doing brainwave testing is where they put electrodes on the scalp and record electrical activity. It's in some ways certainly more sophisticated testing than when you and I talk and hear. Those are functions of the brain, but a more sophisticated, finer test would be doing brainwave testing. But it would seem to me that if you want to check for all functions of the brain, you would do brainwave testing. It would seem to me it would be usual and customary and ordinary and reasonable to do brainwave testing, yet it's accepted to declare brain death without doing brainwave testing. So you see, accepted medical standards are the weakest of all standards, and that's in the law in Ohio and in essentially all the other states. That's where this thing, this dead donor rule, that was made up way late. It wasn't called a dead donor rule. Those are words that are put out there so that people get brainwashed. The dead donor rule, they think the donor is dead. The donor can't be dead. The donor right. must be alive. Every donor is a living person. There are none of them that are truly dead. And, I mean, you can get tissues like bones and ligaments and tendons that don't require much circulation. You can get the cornea, the front part of the eye. The clear front part of the eye doesn't have any blood vessels. It gets its oxygen from the tears through the environment. But all the rest of our body gets its oxygen through the circulation. And the heart needs continuous circulation, as you know from teaching resuscitation. You have to get to the patient within 4 or 5 minutes or they're so damaged that they can't recover. It's that the heart is so damaged, the brain is so damaged, the liver is so damaged. And in 4 or 5 minutes without circulation, it's so damaged you can't transplant it. You have to get these organs, the heart, the liver, from somebody who has a beating heart and circulation.
I'd like to add here that I witnessed with a family member who had a cardiac arrest out of hospital. When the family went to see, he was at a senior citizen center. The family immediately went there. The squad said he was still in full arrest. And they had him in the squad then. They had him in the ambulance. He was still in full arrest, and they wanted to know what they should take him. So somewhere between that, his transport time, which was pretty quick, probably 10 minutes or less, to the emergency department where they continued the resuscitation, the resuscitation did so adequate a job that even though it was lengthy, it was successful. And no, initially it looked like there was brain damage, but he recovered completely. The brain functioned again. So their resuscitation efforts, their treatment actually worked. They didn't ever really give up.
Right, and that's the correct approach. And the patient was always alive. The person that you're talking about is not a resurrection, but it's the life is there. See, as long as the life is there, then we have a chance to resuscitate. Once somebody is dead, then they're dead, and so the patient is there. The ventilator, incidentally, only works when the life is there. The ventilator does not work on a corpse. The ventilator, we're getting off, but I got to share it with you because it's so important. The ventilator only pushes the air in. It doesn't push it out. It's only the living person that pushes the air out. The way that God makes the body is that the muscles of breathing and the lungs have elastic properties, somewhat like the rubber band. The rubber band has elastic properties. The rubber band's laying on the desk, and it's not doing anything. And we know if you stretch it, it will bounce back. Well, where does it get the energy to bounce back? It gets it from us who stretch it, and we put the energy in, and then the rubber band can store it and use it to retract. That's the way God makes breathing, so that we take a breath in, and then it stores energy to push it out. When the ventilator pushes the air in, it pushes the air in, and then the muscles of breathing, the muscles of the chest and the diaphragm and the lungs store the energy to push it out. The ventilator only works in the living person. And yes, that's very, very important to know about the ventilator. The ventilator cannot work on a corpse. Everybody's on a ventilator that has a beating heart and circulation. They're all alive.
Yes.
Before we go too far away from that law, I want to point out something about that law, and you just read it, and I listened carefully to what you read. The Uniform Determination of Death Act calls for irreversible cessation of all functions of the entire brain, including the brainstem. The law in Ohio does not have entire. I lived away from Ohio for several years, and when I came back and I looked up the law and saw that entire was missing, I asked, where did it go? Nobody knows where it goes. But the law in Ohio is the weakest of all brain death laws in the entire United States, probably the world, because they leave out the word entire. Now, did they do it by accident? I don't know. It doesn't make any difference in the sense that everybody who's called brain dead is alive. It's just that in Ohio, and you focused on the word all, you see what they did when they, first of all, brain death was invented not based on any kind of good medicine or science. Then the laws came along and made it legal. So it made legal no good medicine, not good medicine, not good science, and made it legal with these laws. And the laws, as they were invented, the American Bar Association definition of death, the Uniform Brain Death Act, as they invented them, I was active in communicating with them, showing the deficiencies of the laws, only to have them make another law, and then the Uniform Determination of Death Act, of which Ohio does not include the word entire. Does that make it a better, a stronger law in Ohio, or a weaker law? It probably has no great effect because of society is brainwashed to think that brain death is death when it's not. But in fact, the matter is, it is a weaker law because they have the word entire is not there. If they would revise the law to put the word entire in, it would at least give people a chance to become aware of the law. These laws have all been passed without anybody being aware of them. the law that you're talking about to getting organs in 2008 or whatever it was in Ohio. Ohio was one of the later states to get the law. It was revised in 2006, and then they campaigned to get it in all the states. And the revised Unitarm Anatomical Gift Act, which incidentally I went to the legislature twice to testify against it, and the second time when I went, they said, "Oh, you were here 2 weeks ago." I said, "Yes." Well, we ordinarily don't let people testify if more than once. And of course, I looked puzzled. And then they said, "Well, because you're a doctor, we'll let you testify again." And I thought to myself, what is this that they're doing? What difference does it make if I'm a doctor or not a doctor if I come to testify at the legislature? So they let me testify again. But then in Ohio, 56 representatives voted for that law. And there was only one senator who voted against it, and for whatever reason, maybe that senator listened to some of my testimony. But in any event, the Uniform Anatomical Gift Act, which is the law that they get the organs from, it makes it so that it is presumed that everyone is an organ donor. It's presumed that everyone has consented to every test to see if the organs are in good shape until they can find someone to give them to, and then keep them in good shape till they can find someone. The law is an absolutely terrible law. It's already been passed in 47 states, and most people are not paying any attention. And yes, you see the effect of it when you go to get the license, and you and I talked a little bit. That the license bureau, they ask you, do you wish to be an organ donor? And then they point out after death, which is a great big lie. It's not after death, but they put that in there. And then people say yes, and that makes it easier to get their organs. If they say no, that does not get recorded. And incidentally, they don't use no. What they put them into is a category as unlisted. You know,
right.
So much of this is a sham, and it's a sham on the on the legislators, on the medical world, on the people, that they are kept from understanding what's happened. Furthermore, if you say yes and then you learn some of these things and you go back to say no, it's written into the law that that's a revocation and not a refusal, and people have no idea about what this is all about. Anyway, I didn't mean to keep on talking, but you asked me whatever you wanted to ask me.
Okay, well, you're absolutely right, and I've done a lot of shows. The whole legal system is based on presumption, and it's no different. You know, Ohio passed the Real ID Act in 2015, and I went to get my license and had to go through a whole bunch of rigmarole, and I ended up so upset with what happened that I got a hold of their driver's manual where they're giving the instructions to those little men and women behind the counter. So I looked up the signature where you have to sign, and that's your consent for this, incidentally. There's always a signature. So if you say, yes, I wish to be an organ donor, then they get ready, you know, they do what they do on their computer, and then they ask you to sign on that little workstation pad, sign your name. Now, I've talked about this on other shows, but I don't know that I've talked about it with you specifically, Dr. Byrne. I'm going to read to you what it means when you sign your name. Okay, in their driver's manual, this is their definition, not mine. This is the definition that is given to all of the people who work at the driver's license agencies. It's called the driver's manual, Bureau of Motor Vehicles Driver's Manual. It's not given to the public. I want everybody to understand. I had to do a public records access to get a hold of it. So the public doesn't get to see this. And this is what it says about your signature. The signature collected on the signature pad at the workstations for Ohio credential issuance indicate the applicant agrees to and understands the information regarding the issuance. We'll go to break and talk a little bit about what that means.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Front Sight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over Front Sight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So if you sign that, you are saying in their world, this presumption, which exists pretty much everywhere, that you agree to and understand the information regarding the issuance. That would be your driver's license or state ID. Now, there isn't one man or woman in the state of Ohio except for Dr. Byrne. I think when they get there and getting their driver's license, understands that Ohio has a fishy definition of death, and they have no clue that there is this fishy definition of death, which is not scientific, and it's being inflicted on all the people who are so believe that they're generously donating organs after death. They are clueless, and it's a scam right from the very beginning. The minute you sign that thing, that is where the scam is. You have no idea this is going on, and yet you just signed something, a legal document stating that you understand and accept all of the policies regarding organ donation. So, Dr. Byrne, that's where we're at. It's deceptive up one side and down the other.
And Al, you stated it so correctly and so nicely that I hope the people hear it and realize that this is a serious matter, and we as citizens must do something about these things. The Anatomical Gift Act is a terrible law, and
yes.
and yet it's in Ohio and in 47 states, and then the Uniform Determination of Death Act in Ohio, they left out the word entire. I just don't see, and nobody's paying any attention.
Is what I
would say. No,
right? They don't know. And then when I looked at it, I went to a meeting today where I introduced all of this, and they may be listening to the show. I invited them to come because I told them I would be having you on, and I really wanted them all to listen to you. Although we do have the archives, so I can send them a link when the program's over. But they were. These are smart people who've been looking at the legal system, some of them for 20, 30 years. And when I got done explaining this to them, they were stunned. These are wonderful, brilliant people who've been looking at the law, reading codes and statutes and trying to figure out how this thing went so astray. And they were absolutely stunned. One of them was... He said, I'm going to copy this information that you've given us today, and I'm going to take it to work. And I already contacted a printing company. I hope you don't mind. It's going to be a bumper sticker. I'm going to get bumper stickers on all my vehicles, all my family's vehicles. You are not alone in this battle in Ohio. I'm going to tell you that right now. This is absolutely cannot be allowed to continue. I mean, I don't want to get on a bandwagon, but if you think about it, they're trying to shorten the life of a 20, 25-year-old, okay, so they can give the heart to a 55, 60-year-old. Does this make sense? Are we sacrificing our young so we get a few more years in our senior years? This is insane to me, Dr. Byrne. I mean, I get a headache just thinking about it.
Yes, but Al, I hope you don't get a headache, but realize that you're stating it so correctly, and of course, I'm a physician, and so what do doctors and nurses and respiratory therapists do? We protect and preserve life, and that's
yes.
all we do. And so here I am, a doctor. Practicing medicine, in helping invent the field of neonatology, 1963. In 1968, they invented brain death. I didn't realize what was happening, and if it wouldn't have been for Joseph in 1975, who made me go look into this question, maybe I'd be like everybody else. But as a result of that, and of course, I'm not the only one. There are people all over the world. You mentioned the two doctors from the New England States, Dr. Trug and Franklin, who published that point out how brain death is not true death. But where I differ from them is they say, so what? You can still take their organs. And I say, no, you can't take their organs because you kill them in taking the organs.
Yes, you're murdering them.
And so that I'm quite familiar with them. And so... I am happy that they have published those articles, but on the other hand, and I've had communication at least with Dr. Trug, and so I can't join up with him because I can't go there. Every time a heart is transplanted, it's a beating heart that is stopped by the transplant surgeon. And cut right. out at that time.
And the patient is essentially murdered. Okay, we'll be back. This is our long break, and then we'll wind up.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, we're in the last leg of the program. We generally stop around 10 minutes before the hour because we have a message that we do in the very last short segment. I really am so happy that you're here, Dr. Byrne. On your website, I saw some YouTubes in that website, again, truthaboutorgandonation.com. I saw some YouTubes. You've got all kinds of good stuff. People really need to go there and look at what you put together. As I said earlier, those two articles, I got several articles that I shared with my husband, and most listeners know he's a retired physician. He was impressed with these articles. This was information he did not know. I did not know. I would not have known about if I hadn't gone to your website. But when I went to your website, there were two stories that caught my attention. One of them was a YouTube about a young man who had a head injury. They were getting ready. They'd already called the organ procurement people when his cousins came in and produced a definite pain response. And that was a story that was apparently on the news. And they actually saved his life because it stopped everything. The other was a YouTube and a story about a young man who was brain injured, and his father went in there and was determined they weren't going to take his organs, and he went in there with a gun to prevent anybody from really murdering his son. And when the SWAT team broke in, according to the story in the YouTube, the doctor who was with the SWAT team went right up and said, my gosh, this guy is not dead. So there were two stories specifically about people who recovered completely, and they were saved by their relatives. If that's not enough, if those two stories and the story we had when we played back the interview that Bernice Jones did when she lost her son, Brendan, if those three stories don't make people just want to say, oh my God, this issue's got to be addressed. It absolutely, young people who are recoverable are having their lives terminated. They're not given a chance to recover. If people don't get that this may be their best chance to save lives that they've ever encountered, I don't care if you're an accountant, I don't care if you're a cab driver, I don't care what you do for a living, you can join this campaign, and I'm not even asking for any money, and I haven't heard Dr. Byrne ask for money either. We're just asking that you get these brochures out and you get this bumper sticker, and I will have it up as soon as I can get it done. And you start telling people what is going on. You actually will likely save some lives, even though you may never know it. I think the chances of each and every one of us saving at least one life is very realistic, Dr. Byrne. I don't think I'm being overly optimistic by getting people to pay attention to this. Do you?
Okay. First of all, the one young man that you mentioned was Zach Dunlop from Oklahoma, a 20-year-old young man who the helicopter was landing to take his organs. Because he had a relative who did one more test and got some response, everything was stopped. And, of course, he's on the TV being interviewed and telling how he was unable to respond when they were saying he was brain dead. And what do you want to do now? He would like to do something, throw those doctors out the window, is what he said, to keep them from doing that. The other situation that you mentioned, that father who protected his son ended up going to jail over that protection of his son. Now, there are a few things that we need to mention. One is there is another website that we have, lifeguardianfoundation.org. So there are both of them, Truth About Organ Donation and lifeguardianfoundation.org. Now, at Life Guardian Foundation, one of the things that we do is we give out medical cards, and the medical cards are made so you can carry them with you. You can sign them and witness them, and the medical card says that I direct all medical and surgical treatments and care be administered to protect and preserve my life. Do not hasten death. Do not shorten life. Do not do an apnea test. Do not take any organ for transplantation or any other purposes. Now, the apnea test, everyone must learn about this. You must all hear this. The apnea test is a test where they take the patient off the ventilator for 10 minutes. They suffocate them for 10 minutes. The carbon dioxide goes up. It makes the brain swell. It makes them worse. And that's the confirmatory test for the clinical conclusion of brain death.
Let me stop you here, because that's real important what you said, and I want to chime in as a respiratory therapist. If we were testing to see if someone could come off a ventilator and breathe on their own, we wouldn't wait 10 minutes.
Of course not. You do it very carefully, just a few seconds, and see how they respond.
Yeah, and if they didn't respond,
you do it very carefully. But they deliberately do it.
We used to call that weeding them. We used to call it weeding them.
And all of that, hopefully you have been exposed to good medicine. And no patient should abruptly have the ventilator stop. As you know, anytime anybody's on a ventilator, even for 48 hours, you have to wean them. You have to take it away very slowly. Because the the muscles of breathing haven't been used, and they have to start to be used again. Every time they do this, they suffocate the patient. So everybody in the audience must know and learn, if you have a relative that's unconscious and on a ventilator, one of the first instructions you must give to the medical team is do not allow them to do the apnea test. The apnea test is an awful test. No one should ever get one. It can only harm the patient and make them get worse, yet they cannot declare them clinically brain dead without the apnea test. So they have to be instructed that way. Incidentally, at LifeGuardianFoundation.org, we have booklets that we will share with you if somebody gets in touch with us. We have ways of having a power of attorney for healthcare. And incidentally, at the License Bureau, when they asked me, do you wish to be an organ donor? Of course, I said no. Then they said, do you have a living will? And of course, I said no, but I think, why does somebody who's sitting behind a desk ask me if I have a living will? That's none of their business. And what is this? And of course, I react inside of me that way, but I know that that's a person who works there. It's not her fault that she's doing this. She's just doing what her job is. But the people who are giving their job, it's no business of the License Bureau whether somebody has a living will. Incidentally, no one should have a living will. There's nothing living about living wills. It's kind of like life insurance. Life insurance has nothing to do with life. It only has to do with death. But you couldn't sell it if you call it death insurance, so you call it life insurance. You couldn't sell it if you called it dying wills. They called it living wills. It has nothing to do with living. It has to do with protecting doctors and hospitals against liability. You don't mind becoming dead. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Al.
Let me jump in here again. I'm going to put links to this in the IDH program links so that people can read this for themselves, that everything he's saying is true. But we've got it in document form now. So I'm going to put a link for the revised Uniform Anatomical Gift Act that was written by 12 lawyers in 2006, unelected lawyers. I'm going to put a link to that, and you can read what they said and what their justification. I'm going to put a link to the Ohio Revised Code, Chapter 2108, titled Human Bodies or Parts Thereof.
And I know, isn't it something? They don't call them organs. They call them parts.
Parts. It's all there.
Auto parts place.
Exactly.
I mean, it's so awful.
It is awful. I'm awful. Also going to put a link, again, you're not going to find this everywhere, to the Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles Driver's Manual, Chapter 12, titled Anatomical Donation and Living Will. And in that, you can click on that. It's only six pages, really. You will see exactly what those people behind the counter are doing. They've got a screen that is prompting them. And that little driver's manual, Chapter 12, tells you exactly what, when they ask you the question, you read this manual and you will see that in their world, your answer regarding a living will means something different. In fact, then they will ask you if you want an emblem on your driver's license. Now, you have to understand when you become an organ donor, there's an emblem on the front of the license that distinguishes you, so that the paramedics, when they pick you up, if they look at your driver's license, they will see you have volunteered to be an organ donor. That other living will, you can put an emblem. They will ask you, do you want this notation on your driver's license, on your credential or your state ID? That emblem will indicate that you have a living will, and should your condition be considered irreversible, you don't want artificial ventilation. People have to understand, they don't know about what we're talking. So if they say, yeah, sure, put that on there, the one who's standing there getting their license is thinking, well, okay, if I've got a really bad dread disease and I've been suffering for 5 years, probably I don't want artificial ventilation. That is not what that emblem is saying. That's not why they're asking you there. That's not why the questions are there in their screen. You go into a registry. If you have advanced directives, that means you've already said it's okay to withhold life support from me. There is no mention in the manual or in the code. Nowhere does it mention, under these conditions, I would agree, don't put me on a ventilator. No, people, the conditions aren't written anywhere. So when you say that, they decide on those conditions. And if they think those conditions have occurred after you failed their lousy apnea test, which is nothing but suffocation, then they've got your consent. It's all perception management. It's a presumption that you understood it all and you agreed. I just wanted to get that in so people can see these documents for themselves and realize that Dr. Byrne didn't go see those legislators and talk to them twice and not be aware that of what they've done. He is very much aware of what they've done. Sorry, I did a little rant there.
It's okay. You're doing great, Al. It's so important, and I hope your listeners who are more used to hearing your voice than mine and that they will pay attention. It's so important. It's a system of death is what it is. And the system of death has a lot to do with brain death and organ transplants, but it also has to do with not treating people when they get older, that kind of thing. I get exposed to it myself. I go to the doctor and the question comes up about whether doing a CAT scan. Well, I know a lot about medicine. And I know that what the CAT scan is going to show, that I have something that is going to get better without any kind of further testing. But his response was, well, is it because you're older? Already they're all tuned into that, and yes. When in fact, no matter what the age is, if the person is sick, they should be able to go to the doctor. But and it should be a special relationship between the doctor and the patient. But now what's happening is that the government controls what tests you get. The government controls what treatments you get or what treatments you don't get. And it's a socialized system. It's an overt socialized system in Canada. It's an overt socialized system in England. In the United States, it's a covert socialized system that's operated by the Secretary of Health and controlling CMS, which is Medicare and Medicaid, and then all the private insurance companies all follow in line. So it's a socialized system that we have, and it's not there to protect and preserve your life. It's there so they don't waste money on you. It's there so that when they won't do a blood count on certain patients, they won't give them thyroid medicine and that kind of thing. And so most people don't pay attention. I happen to be a doctor who has to pay attention, and then because of Joseph, I've had to pay attention to these things greater. And then, incidentally, I would just as soon be watching the football game as talking on this radio program. But I say, okay, it's a chance to educate people and to help them understand. So, and I encourage people to go to our websites, to pay attention, to get in touch with the legislators. There are ways to write good laws to protect yourself, but the laws that we have now are there to get organs. They're not to protect you. And incidentally, the Uniform Determination of Death Act should be repealed completely. It's right. Not a good law. It's a terrible law. And the Uniform Anatomical Gift Act, likewise, these are terrible laws. They're not there. And then the other law that fits right into it is the HIPAA law. The HIPAA law that we all have to sign something when we go to the doctor or the pharmacy, the insurance man. It's we think it's there to protect our records, when in fact there's 14 ways in the HIPAA law that the government can get your information without your permission and can use it without your permission, and one of them is to get your organs. And
yes,
that's why the HIPAA law was written, for those reasons, not to protect your records.
We're going to have to wrap up. I'm so glad that you came on the show, and I will definitely have you back. We need to talk more about these other various arms of this that the seniors and other people are being subjected to and don't even realize it. I'm just thrilled that you came on board, and I will put a lot of these links up with the IDH program links page, so people can click on them and read them for themselves. I want to invite the listeners to stay tuned for our last, the last segment of the show, where we do an imaging prayer. It's time to think about the future that our children deserve, the future that we want, where there is peace, there is health, there is beauty. If we get entrenched in the dark side, we're giving all our energy to the dark side. We need to maintain an image of the world we want, and that is what will inspire us to continue to fight against these horrific medical crimes that are being committed. Never lose sight of the future that these children should have. Always image in your mind how you wish the world would be, and then go back and fight the good fight. That's my conclusion for tonight. And thank you for listening. Thank you, Dr. Burns, so much for what you do. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Thank you, Al, for inviting me. And we ask God to bless all of the listeners.
Thank you. And I will definitely have you back. And check with my IDH program links in our store. As soon as that bumper sticker is ready, as soon as the copy guy has it ready, I will post it up there. He's generally very reasonable. Personally, I'm going to start with 10. You can order even one if you want to when it gets done. All the bumper sticker says on it, and I'm going to send a copy of it to Dr. Byrne. It says, what you don't know about organ donation could cost you your life. Visit truthaboutorgandonation.com. He's got the website. We need to get people to go there. People need to read what's going on. People need to listen to his YouTubes, see how credible he is. And what can I say? Everyone listening to this show can help in this campaign. It's not going to take a lot of time.
LifeGuardianFoundation.org also.
Yes, LifeGuardianFoundation.org. We have a different approach to solving the legal part that you and I haven't talked about, but that's okay. It doesn't hurt to have something in your wallet, but you're going to need to do something beyond that because they don't always look in your wallet. So we have another approach to add to that. It certainly doesn't hurt. And you did call my attention to something that I was aware of, but I hadn't given much thought to, and I want to thank you for that. And that is when our children become 18 and legally emancipated, you no longer, as the next of kin, and that is in that the statutes in Ohio and probably throughout the country, as the next of kin, you have no legal authority to stop organ transplantation. You do not have the power of attorney, other than if you're married, you have the power of attorney of your spouse. That you have. Any other relationship, you don't have. Okay, time is up. Good night, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Good night.
Good night.
We'd like to end tonight's show by reaching up to a higher power, whatever that might mean to you, to assist us in creating the future we all want. Close your eyes as you listen to this beautiful song by Inca Gold called Shout to the Lord, and image families and children enjoying Earth's healthy meadows, forests, oceans, and mountains in perpetuity. Image them laughing, singing, and dancing. Visualize humanity thriving, free from want or fear. Picture the peaceful world we all deserve. Let's joyfully create our future together.
Garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just telling you, tell you what a great product you have. I had used this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Listening to Rip.